Please open your Bibles to Exodus. We'll start in chapter 13. We'll be in chapters 13, 14, and 15 today. We won't read all of that, although I would encourage you to take some time this afternoon and read all of those chapters. Moses and the God who parts the sea. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thankful for what you have done to encourage us and strengthen our faith and remind us of your love and grace for us. And we want to recommit ourselves to you. Father, we are thankful that you speak to us through your word, and we pray that you would give us insight and understanding into what you say, that it might take root in our lives and bear fruit for the glory of your name and for our good and for the blessings of all of those around us. Father, wherever we are in our Christian walk, whether we are far from you and not even on the path, we pray that you would bring those to yourself. If we are struggling, we pray that you would help us. If we are progressing, we're thankful and ask that you would help us to continue. But wherever we are, whatever's going on in our lives, we need you and we draw near to you. And we trust that you will be with us and you'll supply every need. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. So life is filled with different seasons, different moments. There are times when things are cruising along, rocking along for us, and we like those. There are other times where it's pretty bumpy and difficult, and we don't care for those a whole lot. But whatever it is, it's a sequence of moments, experiences. Some of them are short, some of them are long. But these moments, they define and they shape us. In Exodus, we get a picture of several of these moments in life. Exodus gives us a picture of what this Christian life looks like. And there are four of them that I'd like for you to consider this morning, four moments in the Christian life. And the first are those meandering moments. Meandering moments. Those seasons in life where we're just kind of wandering about, where we're kind of tossed here and there. And that's certainly what happened with the Israelites. Remember, last week we considered how the Israelites were delivered from captivity and bondage by God. He sent the death angel throughout the land, but the Israelites, they were spared because they slaughtered a lamb and smeared their doors with the blood of the lamb. And the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." It was a picture of Christ's blood applied to our hearts, our lives, and how we are justified, how we are sanctified, set apart, and saved by the Lord's grace. And the Israelites, they were ejected out of Egypt. The Egyptians said, "Go, leave us, because if you stay any longer, we're going to all be obliterated." And so they left. And they start marching out. Some of you might remember VeggieTales. Any of you kids remember VeggieTales? I remember the vegetables singing, "We're going to the promised land." And for the Israelites, I'm sure that's exactly how they felt. They were marching to the promised land. Things were going great. That's where we pick up. Exodus 13, verse 17. "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea." The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Look down at verse 21. "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." The first thing that we take notice of here is the Lord is guiding His people. He is manifesting His glory as a cloud or as a fire in the sky. And it was obvious to the people that the Lord was guiding them. The Lord was leading them. And all they had to do was follow. And as they followed them, some of them surely had to realize, wait a minute, this doesn't seem like we're going in the right direction. You know, everybody's got a backseat driver in their life. And I'm sure that some of those folks in the back of the column of people were thinking, wait, I don't think we're heading the right direction. You see, if they would have headed northeast, they could have got to the promised land in just a matter of weeks. But they've turned more in a southeasterly direction. They're almost going the wrong way. It's like coming out here to 155 to head to Chicago and you turn right. That's not quite the right way to go. My father-in-law and I have different philosophies on taking road trips. For me, I want the shortest possible route, the most efficient, the quickest. None of the trip for me is about the journey. It's all about getting to the destination. For him, it's about the journey. You know, he's an old Arkansas Highway Department guy, and he likes to travel those crooked, slow Arkansas back roads where people drive 35 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. He loves that, and I just want to beat my head against the dash. Sometimes that's what it feels like in life. We like to be efficient. We want to be there quickly. We don't want to meander. But sometimes God leads us on a meandering path. At least it meanders from our perspective. You see, we have plans for our lives. We have an agenda that we want to follow. We know what we want in marriage. We know what we want with our kids. We know what we want in our career. We know what we want to do with our retirement. We know what we want to do with all of these things. We have these plans in our lives. And sometimes God doesn't take us where we want to go. He takes us in this circular route. He takes us on what seems like a detour. It frustrates us. We feel like the flyers who go to the airport and we sit for hours and we don't know anything. We just know we can't get on the plane. Or even worse, we get on the plane, we taxi out on the runway, and then we sit. Anybody been there before? That is an awful, awful place. Awful thing. And we can't get out. We can't leave. It's hot. It's stuffy. Everybody's grumpy. And we just sit there. And sometimes that feels like what God is doing in our lives. We feel meandering. We feel like we're sitting still. We feel like we can't make progress. And God has put us in a holding pattern. We need to remember, God is at work, though. God is taking us to the promised land. He is leading us along, but He doesn't lead us in the way that we often want to go because He knows what we want is not always what's best. God had a plan and a purpose in the meandering moments of life for the Israelites. He's not lost and He's not confused. He had a twofold purpose. First, the text very clearly tells us that if He had led them to the Philistine country, if He took them in the most direct route, they were going to face significant opposition. And their faith was not ready to handle that just yet. There would be a day when the Israelites would face the Philistines, but they had not progressed spiritually to the point where they could handle what was to come. And so God led them in a different way. You see, God had to grow their faith. And when God has you in a meandering moment of life, that despite your best effort to try to progress and get to where you want to go, and God keeps turning the wheel in a different direction, God is trying to help you grow in your faith, and He's trying to protect you from what you cannot yet handle. And I know you think you can handle it. I know because I think the same thing. But God knows better. So God's protecting us from what we are not prepared to deal with, and He's also preparing us for what we need. He's preparing us for what we'll face. There were more lessons to learn along the way. So what do we do if we find ourselves in a meandering moment in life? We trust to the Lord. We've given our lives to the Lord. We said, yes, Lord, I'll do what you'd have me do. I'll go where you'd have me go. Your will be done in my life. And God says, okay, great. We're just going to sit in a holding pattern right here. What do? The answer is trust in the Lord's timing. You and I need to trust in the Lord's timing for our lives. Don't get frustrated. Don't get exasperated with the Lord. Trust Him and follow Him and let Him set the time and agenda for your life. Not only are there meandering moments in our lives, there are also some terrifying moments. Sometimes we get out of those meandering moments and we're finally glad we're out of that, right? And then things get really, really frightening. We have these terrifying moments. Look at chapter 14, verse number 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped at the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Terrifying moments. Pharaoh decides, "Oh, wait a minute. I don't have anybody to fix my meals now. I don't have anybody to build my cities. I don't have anybody to scoop my horse corrals. I got to get my slaves back." And so he sets out and he's going to get them. He's going to run them down and corral them and drag them back and put them into chains. And the Israelites, they see this and they are terrified. Sometimes, friends, when you follow the Lord, when you are doing what He would have you to do, you end up in the middle of trouble. You find yourself in a place you do not want to be in. And you thought, "Hey, if the Lord is blessing me, if the Lord is leading me, if I'm following the Lord, if I'm doing everything He's told me to do, I'm going to be safe, I'm going to be secure, I'm not going to have any kind of problems." And then you find yourself the target of an Egyptian army bearing down on you. Being afraid is natural. Being overwhelmed with terror is a normal response. What is it that terrifies you? What keeps you awake at night? What is it that you utterly dread? There's a very good chance that you're going to face that in your life. There's a very good chance that whatever it is that terrifies you the most is going to show its ugly head and get in your face. And in that moment, you will ask yourself, has God lost control? Has God forgotten? Has God abandoned me? Am I on my own? And the answer is no. God's not lost control. God has not forgotten you. And you are not alone. The Lord is with you. Look at verse 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, will never, you will never see again. the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Moses tells the people, calm down. Calm down. When you are terrified, you need to rely on, trust in the Lord's power. You need to trust that God is in control, and you need to rely upon the strength that He supplies for you. Because quite honestly, you can't beat the Egyptian army. Whatever that is in your life. But God can. You need to trust that if you're following God and you are in the middle of this most terrifying circumstance in your life, God is not forgotten. God is not abandoned. God will not leave you. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. The Lord will deliver you. There's a third moment that comes in our lives. Let's call this the decisive moment. There are times in our lives where we have to make very serious decisions, very serious commitments. And we see a picture of this here in chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. It's easy to read those words and just kind of pass over them, but don't lose sight of the awesome moment that it was. Mountains on either side, backs up against the sea, and an army bearing down. There was no escape. And the Israelites were terrified. They cried out. God said, "Hey, calm down. I've got this." When you feel like you are at the mercy of the world, just look up to God, because He will take care of you. God said, "Go through the sea." And Moses raised the staff, and in this amazing miracle, the waters part. He parted the waters, and the people passed through. The Lord sent the cloud and the fire and interposed between the Israelites and the Egyptians. The Egyptians couldn't get to them, but the Israelites had light to see, and through the night they passed through, and God carried them through. Now, I don't know about you, but that experience would have been incredible. To walk through and this canyon of water. How amazing that must have been. It was a decisive moment. The Israelites had to make a decision to fully commit to the Lord or not. They had to make the decision to step into that canyon of water or to surrender to the Egyptians. To give themselves and entrust their very lives to the Lord and trust that He can carry them through the sea, or give themselves back to the Egyptians. And they chose to entrust their souls to God. The New Testament describes this crossing through the Red Sea as a type of baptism. And it is a picture of Christian baptism, where we fully commit ourselves to the Lord. Say, I give myself to You. My life is Yours. I surrender all to You, Lord. When you in baptism give yourself to the Lord, you put yourself in the water and you are immersed. It's a sign of you giving up everything to God, trusting that He will raise you back up and give you life. And that's the picture that we have here. This decisive moment. Have you come to that decisive moment in your life? Have you given your life to the Lord, surrendering your all to Him? Have you given up everything and said, God, it's Yours. I will not go back to Egypt. I will not turn back to the world. I will not put those chains back on. I give my life to You and I submit to Your sovereignty. Dear friends, surrender to the Lord's sovereignty in your life today. Make that decision. Give yourself to Him and pass through the waters. Well, there are finally the celebratory moments in life. I'm glad we have those, aren't you? You have the meandering moments, you have the terrifying moments, you have those decisive moments, and there are the moments of celebration. The Lord allowed the Israelites to cross through. When they were safe to the other side, the Lord allowed the Egyptians to enter into the sea. And when they were in the middle, He let the waters come crashing back down. And the Egyptians were obliterated. And standing on that seashore, looking back at where they had been, looking at their defeated enemies, the Israelites worshipped God. They celebrated. Let's read a few of these verses here. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. Both horse and driver He is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army He is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. Go down to verse 11. Who among the gods is like You, Lord? Remember that all those plagues, they were God and the gods of Egypt in combat with each other. And the one true God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, show that He is the one true God. And all of these false gods, the Egyptians and the people of the world worshipped and relied upon, they were nothing. Who among the gods is like You, Lord? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working in wonders? The answer is no one. Verse 12, You stretch out Your right hand and the earth swallows Your enemies. In Your unfailing love, You will lead the people You have redeemed. In You, Your strength, You will guide them to Your holy dwelling. Go down to verse 17. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of Your inheritance, the place, Lord, You made for Your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, Your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. This is a moment of celebration. The Lord has won the day. He's delivered His people. Moses and the Israelites, they sang and they worshiped the Lord. They praised His power and His strength. They praised His uniqueness. He is the one true God. They praised His rule. They praised Him for establishing them as His people. And they praised Him for His continued faithfulness. And they trusted that God would take care of them. So, dear friends, in the celebratory moments of life, testify to the Lord's greatness. Testify to the Lord's greatness. The greatest cause of celebration is the cross, the empty tomb. It's a reminder of God's omnipotent love, His redeeming grace. It's always before us, even in pain and hardship. Psalm 34, verses 2 and 3 says, I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name forever. Dear friend, even in your pain, you can look to the cross and you can celebrate and testify of the Lord's greatness in your life. So where are you today? What moment are you facing in your life? Are you in a meandering moment? Are you in a terrifying moment? Maybe it's a decisive moment. Maybe you ought to give praise to the Lord in celebration. Wherever you are, stay faithful to God, who's been faithful to you. Look to Him and don't turn away. Hold to the Lord, because He holds fast to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for how You care for us and how You meet our needs. How You're with us moment by moment, day by day. May we not turn away. Help us to be faithful. And whatever it is we face, may You give us the strength for it. In Jesus' name, amen.